Hello and welcome everybody to Why Should Your Team Win? I'm your host, Katie, and you guys, this is it. It's the final showdown. It's the Stanley Cup Finals, Las Vegas versus the Florida Panthers. And of course, guess who my guest is? Just take a wild guess. It is Amy Ortiz.
Hey, thanks for having me back again.
Well, Amy, you know, last time we talked, the Edmonton series was just about to start. You and your husband predicted you'd win in six, and that did happen. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And then Dallas, you guys almost had the sweep, but Dallas got some wind in their sails, aka Ben was out of the lineup. and you guys ended up clinching that in six. Which series was better?
I definitely think the Dallas series was better, even with those two games. The Edmonton series was so uneven. There were several games that were like 5-1, one way or the other.
Whiplash.
Whiplash, exactly. In fact, I went to my very first VGK game in person for game two, and yep, we got the crap kicked out of us. We lost 5-1. We stayed the whole time. We had lower bowl seats. It was fantastic.
Like a real fan, by the way.
Like a real fan. Also, the bonus was the arena was so empty that I'm pretty sure that Kane could hear when I was yelling insults at him. So I at least like to think that's possible. But I do think Dallas was a better series. We showed vast improvement on things like the power play and the penalty kill, which are going to be crucial in this series against Florida. And I had a vendetta against Pete DeBoer, the coach of Dallas. So I really loved seeing him lose.
Yeah, you know, before we just head into this series against Florida, that hit on Stone from Ben, give me your two cents.
It was egregious. It literally happened a foot and a half away from the officials, so I don't understand what he was thinking other than, hey, I think I might be able to hurt this guy. And we have seen players from Edmonton and Dallas do little poke checks at Mark Stone's back in particular. I think everybody's acutely aware that he had two back surgeries this season, and yet he's come back and been deadly, especially in the forecheck. He's been fantastic in the postseason, and he's our captain. So they definitely were acutely, I don't want to say aiming for him, but, you know, they would not have been upset if he had had an injury that knocked him out for the rest of the series. So I don't think that he was sorry at all. I can't believe that he dodged the press that night only to have the press conference in the morning and say, oh, it's unfortunate that I fell on his head with my stick, which is just shows no contrition at all. And I have since seen several clips on Twitter, people sort of compiled dangerous hits and other malicious things that he has done on the ice. I think he's a reckless player. And if Pete DeBoer is worth his salt, which he's not, I already know that, he needs to have a serious talk with him because it's a matter of time before he really hurts somebody.
Yeah, and it was so stupid because it was the first like 2 minutes of the game, and you know a big hit can fire up your team, but guess what? You guys were already were already up a goal.
We scored
right real that. Early, and mm-hmm. to do that hit like that is like you've got frustration. I can't believe you're wearing the C. You're a joke. Just unbelievable. And like you said, you know, he dogged the press, he left with his tail between his legs, and then he wouldn't own up to it.
It was really disappointing.
Do you think he'll wear the C next year?
No, I don't. I really don't. And if he does, I think it should be a huge story about what message this sends across the league. A lot of people were talking about whether the length of the suspension, two games, was enough. that's a whole separate thing, but I do think that leadership roles within organizations need to be weighed. I will make the same argument against Pietrangelo being assistant captain on our team. He mm-hmm. made a really reckless hit in the series against Edmonton.
Yeah, the overhead slash.
Yeah.
But it was not to defend that, but it could have been worse.
That's true.
You know, like he could have really hammered it, but it was still a dumb.
It was dumb and reckless. And I think the players have a responsibility to change that attitude in the sport. And a lot of the reason is that the game is much faster than it used to be. The guys are huge. I think the average height and weight for Vegas is like 6'3 and 230 pounds. I mean, these guys are monsters. And they can really hurt each other. And so if you're going to play, you got to play. You can hit each other, but hit each other safely. Play with some finesse. And I know they can do it. These guys have been training their whole lives for this moment. Don't blow it, you know, don't throw it away to potentially hurt or paralyze or even kill somebody on the ice.
Yeah, these people have families. You know,
yeah, they are people for sure.
Well, you guys eked out winning game six. You know, better luck next year, Dallas. I really like a lot of those guys on that team. Pavelski had a hell of a series. I mean, the guy's 38, so who knows what his future looks like. So good luck, buddy. Mm-hmm. So let's just get right into this. Yeah. So let's get into this Florida Panthers. I mean, nobody predicted it, but everyone's calling it a Cinderella, which, yes, they've taken down the number one, the number four, the number two, you know, like they're monsters right now.
They are.
But so over the regular season, you guys only played twice. I was kind of surprised. I know you guys are like on opposite ends, but it was split 1-1. In January, you won 4-2, and Stone left that game with an injury.
He did. Yep.
What injury? And how long was he gone? Do you remember?
It was his back, and that was just ahead of his first back operation. So they still haven't said exactly what it was. I'm going to guess it's something like a discectomy. That was the first one. And then he came back, and he very quickly was injured again and had back surgery again in March. So it's incredible that he's back here in May and June, playing at the level that he is really incredible.
Well, and then your second matchup of that the regular season was March. You guys lost 2-1, a tight game. Hill stopped 40.
Yep.
And Bobrovsky was in net. Let's just talk about goalies right now, because I think it's really going to come down to this goalie situation. Bobrovsky, two-time Vezina winner, guy's a stud. And Vegas has had great goalies all season. Logan Thompson, a hell of a November. I think, was he rookie of the month? Is he a rookie?
He started playing the playoffs last year. So I don't know how that stat works. Probably not, but he.
Player of the month, I think.
Player of the month. November. Yep.
And then he got injured, unfortunately. And then you had LB, and he was tearing it up. And then he gets injured. And now you got Aiden Hill. Tell me about him.
Aiden Hill's been fantastic. He himself had to come back from an injury. So he was sent to rehab with the Henderson Silver Knights, our affiliate team. And I'll be honest, I didn't know if he was ready to come up and play with us. I didn't know if he was ready, if he had the chops, especially because this was his first playoff appearance and the ball was rolling, stress was high, and he's come in and number one, he's huge, which is great. A lot of people have been nicknaming him the mountain and
the hill, the mountain,
the hill. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. But he also plays with a physicality, which is surprising given his size. It's very different than the style of, say, Robin Leonard, who is also a huge player, but he is, you know, his nickname is Panda. He's not super fast. He's good at reading players as they approach him, but Aiden Hill can make some adjustments. However, I do think that Bobrovsky is probably a more naturally talented goalie. I think that it will come down to who can take the pressure. Bob has not lost since their series with Boston. Yeah. So a sweep in the finals is very unlikely. I don't know what the stats are, but you know, what is a potential loss going to do to his mental game? Is it going to precipitate better performance in the next game or worse? Because when you're running on a hot streak like that, sometimes it can work against you the other way. So
exactly.
I think that it's pretty even. I think that it's going to be a low scoring series on both ends, unless one of them just falls apart. And then you can end up having a game like we had against Dallas where it's 6-0, you know,
yeah.
or 5-1 or whatever.
Let's go back to Vegas and the advantages they have. They were in the finals 6 years ago. Florida hasn't been since 1996. So it's been a long time, but you guys also have
Cinderella run.
Yeah. You guys also have six members of the 2018 squad that are ready for redemption. And
they sure
also
are.
Bruce Cassidy was part of the coach of the 2019. So let's talk about redemption.
I think that's been a big theme for the entire team this year. I have noticed in post-game interviews with players like Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault that they really, especially after missing the playoffs last year and remembering how close they got in the first season, that they really do feel like, not that they deserve it, but that they have been working toward this. This is a culmination of things. And it's sort of been the attitude of the organization from the top down. Foley, I can't think of his first name. I think it's George, our owner. Oh, Bill Foley, excuse me. Bill Foley, our owner. He has made it a point with our manager and McPhee and McCrimmon that he wanted a cup within 6 years. So this is kind of, they've leveraged their, I heard a saying, they've leveraged their future for the present. And this is really the chickens coming home to roost. Hopefully through their moves on acquisitions and coaching and everything, this will happen, because inevitably a slump will follow. There, we have given away so many future draft picks, and like they said, leverage the future for the present.
This is the year. Yeah.
This is the year. If it's going to happen, and looking at some of the contracts are going to be ending and everything, I think this is going to be our best shot. However, you know, hockey loves, the hockey gods love a Cinderella story, whether, you know, some people could argue, I might argue, that Vegas is still kind of a Cinderella story. We are still incredibly brand new, and we're coming back from missing the playoffs entirely last year. So there is that narrative, but Florida barely making the playoffs and then playing as well as they have the entire time. Obviously this is the Cinderella team that I have been worried about. I figured we would face one at some point. I actually thought it would be the Kraken, but I'm a little worried that our bubble might finally be burst by the hockey gods.
The fickle hockey gods. But you guys didn't touch the Campbell Cup.
I was just going to say, if you want to get into lore, that's right. We did not touch the Campbell Cup. Kachuk touched the Prince of Wales trophy. We touched the bowl, the Campbell Bowl, back in 2017. Clearly that was a mistake.
Well, the Avs touched it last year. I just really think it depends on where you've been up to the run. Because, you know, like McKinnon, he was famously quoted as, I ain't won shit yet. You know, like, he's been in the league for 8 years. So, like, when
I'm going to touch it.
Yeah, no, he asked Joe Sakic. He's like, should I touch it? And Joe Sakic's like, you bet your ass you touch that thing. You know, and they did. And,
you worked hard, you know, right.
Yeah, you work hard. I don't know.
Did you see the picture of Riley Smith and Alex Pietrangelo holding Mark Stone back? Because Mark Stone was so excited. And they're like, don't touch it, buddy.
Yeah, back off. No, speaking of some players, Jack Eichel, after 8 seasons, finally hitting that playoff bong.
Yeah.
18 points, 6 goals, 12 assists. I think that's big. 12 assists. Your team is so deep.
It really is. The number of players that in the regular season hit double-digit goals, and then the number of players that have gotten goals here in the postseason, we are, I think, have more depth than we have ever had, which is fantastic. And as much as, you know, it maybe is difficult to recalibrate when lines get shuffled, that doesn't seem to be a problem. Bruce Cassidy has experimented throughout the season and even the postseason, especially with the third and fourth line. And those fourth line guys like Will Carrier, Keegan Kolasar, they have done fantastic in this postseason. They've outperformed what they were expected. Of course, you know, we expected to see goals from top line guys like Jack Eichel, Jonathan Marchessault, Chandler Stephenson. The top six guys have produced as they should, but those bottom six guys, I'm really thrilled. I hope they keep that up. That might be the special sauce for us in this series.
Yeah, Carlson's hot, Marchessault's hot, and Stone's doing everything.
He you really know,
his
is.
Two-way game, he's dishing it, he's, yeah.
He's, yeah, it's so fun, it's great with the forecheck. I've seen him pick some pockets mightily, handily in these past couple series, which, you know, can really change the momentum of the game. And with Dallas, Mark Stone was particularly important in just making it impossible for them to spend any time on offense. I mean, he really would organize plays where their offense very quickly crumbled in the zone. So it's fun to watch.
Well, and then just one last player to talk about. Got an update on Kessel?
I hear that he's enjoying hot dogs up in the box. No, I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
Is he going to do like a play a one shift type of thing?
I sure hope so. Sure hope so. I don't want to say he's a mascot kind of a thing for us, but I mean, he kind of is. He's every team. It seems like every team, well, not every team, but many teams have the elder statesman role.
Jonathan Quick.
That's a guy too. And, you know, who knows? I have constantly sort of braced when I see, you know, crazy pucks. So many masks have been damaged in this postseason, which I think is just, I just didn't notice it so much in the regular season, but several teams, they've had to have a pause in the play because players' helmets were breaking and their
That's
masks
terrifying.
Were breaking. It is terrifying. But I do kind of feel a little okay or a little safe about having Jonathan Quick on the bench just in case, knock on wood, but then I don't want anything to happen to Aiden Hill. But we have been plagued by injuries for so long. And Jonathan Quick, he's one of those players, he didn't necessarily have the best stats. I think he was sub 900 for the games that he did play with us. But he is, like we said, an elder statesman. He has been to the Stanley Cup Finals before. He can handle that pressure. Mm-hmm. And if Hill crumbles, because this is his first postseason, you know, Jonathan Quick being on the bench is good. And, you know, who knows? Maybe this whole time he's whispering his wisdom into Aiden
Hill's ear. For sure.
And that might be part of why he's doing so well as well.
A lot of things, or a lot of memes I keep seeing on, you know, hockey pages, it's all like, you know, the whole country's going for Florida. And then I'll be like, one little dot is going for Vegas. Do you guys feel like you're the bad guy, or like everyone's cheering against you?
Yes. I noticed on several maps, the only team or the only states that have been going for us are the Carolinas, because they're mad at the Panthers, and then Massachusetts because of Boston. I do think we're kind of considered the bad guys. I think that's ridiculous. Even listening to the commentary on ESPN, I had to mute it eventually because they focused so much. They wanted Dallas to win so badly. I don't understand why we aren't getting our flowers, considering we did so well in the regular season. It should not be a surprise that we went on to win the Western Conference. It's not shocking. Anybody that looks at our stats or actually watches our games, I think a lot of it is just a holdover. People who think that the expansion rules are unfair, they still use Vegas as the example, although if they really wanted to make that argument, they would bring the Kraken into it as well, which knocked off the defending Stanley Cup champions, you know.
Well, we were injured. We were injured, Amy.
Yeah, I understand that.
The Seattle Kraken had a great team, depth, the energy, everything. So, hats off.
And they have great coaching. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think people were being genuine about their anger about the expansion rules. It include Seattle in their argument. So I don't think that that's really what the issue is. It's crazy. If you talk to anybody who has been to, it doesn't matter what team they're a fan of. I talked to a lot of Flames fans when I was down in Vegas for that game. I talked to Edmonton fans. I talked to Maple Leafs fans. They love coming to Vegas for hockey. They love seeing how entertaining the games are against Vegas because we're great opponents. They love our arena, but when they get home and they're in front of their TV or they're on their computer, they hate us with a passion. And I don't quite understand that. It's not like we have a bench full of dirty players. I don't understand. And I am curious to see if it'll get worse if we win the cup. I actually think it'll get worse if we lose the cup. I think that people will go, and rag on us, but we'll see.
Just random question. Who do you fear more, Bobrovsky or Tkachuk in overtime?
Tkachuk in overtime, absolutely. he is deadly.
had an amazing season or postseason. It's been exciting to watch him. You know, it was such a blockbuster trade last season when he got traded out of Calgary. I don't know the whole situation. I'm not a Calgary fan. But, I mean, it was, you know, Jonathan Huberdeau, Hoobie-Dooby-Doo. When he left Florida, I was shocked. Right. You know, I was like, oh, my God, you know. But I'm glad, I guess, you know, Tkachuk's having success. Good for him.
Yes, it's sort of a redemption story for him as well. So I think he's the whole reason that they have had this, and he is Cinderella in my mind. Mm-hmm. I really think that.
And I think, you know, Barkov, the captain, he's been with the team for 10 seasons, and then Ekblad is for 9 seasons. I mean, the Stanley Cup is the hardest trophy in sports to win. And to get this close, you know, I'm just really proud of both teams and all the players. That's what I'm just so excited for Stanley Cup, because whoever wins, it's a new Stanley Cup champion.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I think it'll be great. And I think that it's going to bring out the best in players that are multidimensional. So I think about, like I said, the forecheck with Stone, You mentioned Barkov. He's also a defensive style center. I think that's going to make for some really dramatic puck turnover situations, breakaways, you know, the hockey that's fun to watch, the stuff that legends are made out of, the stuff that makes your player highlight reel. Mm-hmm. It's like hockey Christmas. I think it'll be great. I want to ask you, who you think would get the Conn Smythe between Bobrovsky and Tkachuk if Florida wins?
Honestly, do they beat Boston without Bobrovsky? That's how I'm looking at it. Like, do you get out of the first round without this guy?
Good point.
So I'm going to give it, you know, 51% to Bobrovsky. I'm just going to give him that tiny edge over Tkachuk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like I said, it's like a 1% over Tkachuk. So it's pretty even. Maybe it could be like a new record where they both get it. Can they do that? Why not?
You know, it's probably a little less likely. Some people have been saying that even if Vegas wins, like either one of those two could still potentially win it, which hasn't happened in like 30 years or something.
Oh, yeah. But I think the last was 2003, J.S. Jaguar for the Anaheim Ducks.
Oh, okay.
When they lost to New Jersey, because he goalied everybody that whole playoff. Oh, yeah. So when they lost, he still got the Conn Smythe. I mean, he skated off the ice right away. You know.
Well, yeah, he'd rather have the Stanley Cup. I understand.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's interesting also about this series, it's top seed versus low seed. But at this point, it means nothing.
Correct. Yep. And it doesn't also, like I said earlier, it doesn't really seem to matter because nobody gives Vegas the credit that you'd expect to be given to a top seed. So that kind of all goes out the window. And I think they're such similar teams when it comes to things like penalty kill. Their stats are very similar. Offense, goaltending, I think is very similar. There are some things that I think that Vegas could improve on. The power play is the biggest. They have improved, especially in the series against Dallas, but it was terrible against Edmonton. And it doesn't really matter how many penalties you kill. If you are not taking advantage of those scoring opportunities, you can't win the game. I mean, that's math. So that I think needs some help. And also the two players I'm really concerned about, we drew some really stupid penalties. We talked about, you know, stupid penalties that Dallas drew, but we also had stupid penalties drawn by McNabb, which resulted in that Pavelski overtime power play goal, which so we lost.
That was a beauty by Pavelski. I'm sorry.
It really was. And I was happy for him. He's one of my favorite players. And I joked actually right before that, that he's the type of player that I could see Pete DeBoer trading away for nothing after the season, because Pete DeBoer does that to players like Fleury. But anyway, you know, I said, if that happens, maybe we should pick him up.
I wouldn't mind him on my team. That's for sure.
Absolutely. So, but anyway, McNabb, you know, gave the game to Dallas with that stupid penalty. Another player, I think, who drew way too many penalties in the series against Edmonton was Keegan Kolesar. I don't like him. I hope we trade him away. He's just not as effective as he needs to be for the trouble that he causes. So we'll see. But as long as everybody keeps a cool head, one of my favorite things that came out of this series with Dallas, meme-wise, was Nick Hague, who he's huge. He's like 6'6" or something. But anyway, Dallas had just drawn a penalty on him, and they wanted to start a little fight, and he ended up just throwing a thumbs up. And as a result, he got unsportsmanlike conduct penalty for a thumbs up. Whatever. Okay. I guess you could see that, I guess you could argue that that was being I don't know, trying to start a fight, but it was hilarious. And so I hope that they keep that looseness. Even though they got penalty minutes for that, it didn't really matter. As long as they stay loose, they don't let their, you know, hotheads prevail, they shouldn't be drawing stupid penalties that could result in scoring opportunities for Florida.
Well, before we get into predictions, I have one final bitch, and that is the late fucking start times. Every game is 8 p.m., 8 p.m., 8 p.m. Okay, way to grow the sport, NHL. I feel like when a TV show is about to get canceled and then they like change its prime time slot to like Saturday at 2 a.m., I feel like the NHL is doing that this whole playoffs. I mean, earlier when it was Minnesota versus Dallas, that first game, it went to double overtime and the fans were walking out. People on TV were turning it off, going to bed.
Yeah, because they have to work the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of thought that maybe the NHL would learn their lesson and start scheduling them a little bit sooner when that first Canes-Florida game went to 4 or 5 overtimes. You know, it was like 1:30 in the morning in Florida, so who can do that? And then that's not the first time. I remember in 2017 or 2018, we were playing against the Kings, I believe, and it was the same thing. It was like 4 overtimes. And it was like 1 a.m. in Vegas time. I cannot imagine anybody on the East Coast, which is 3 hours earlier, they'd be watching hockey until 4 in the morning. So I feel for you trying to watch internationally.
Well, I like it because I'll wake up at 6 a.m. I'm like, the game's still on, you know?
Well, maybe just tell yourself that they're doing it for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I imagine that anybody on the East Coast especially agrees with you. I feel a little lucky because I live mountain time. Mm-hmm. And so get the game start at 6 for me. So that's great. But I also understand the argument that if it's 8 p.m. on the East Coast, it's 5 p.m. in Vegas.
Yeah.
People don't really want to start watching hockey at 3:30 in the afternoon. So they're kind of damned if they do and damned if they don't.
Yeah, I think, well, they should balance it a bit better.
I agree.
Damned a little
alternate
bit.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do you have anything to add before we go into predictions?
I still love Jonathan Marchessault. I think that I've seen several.
Who's your candidate for Conn Smythe?
See, that's so hard because
I think Eichel's the forerunner.
There's Eichel, Stone, Marchessault.
Don't make Carlson, the best player, you know?
That's true. But if Carlson keeps going on this tear like he is,
I
think
seen
he's
him
had
for
10 goals. He could really save our bacon in this series. So, but that speaks to the depth of the team. Florida has this amazing top line and they have Tkachuk, mm-hmm. but we have, you know, a gaggle of dudes that all potentially could take that award home. So good problems, you know, I like good problems.
Sweet. All right, Amy, give me your prediction.
My prediction is VGK in 7.
Ooh.
I think it's going to go all the way to game 7. I think it's going to be a lot of drama. I think it's going to be a lot of stress. I'm going to have all gray hair by the time this is over. But I think that everybody who watches the series will come away thinking this was one of the all-time great matchups. And hopefully, I understand why Canadian fans are upset that this is a Sunbelt cup.
Yeah.
But hopefully it will shut down the narrative that there is no good hockey down here, because I think this is going to be some world-class head-to-head matchups.
Yeah, awesome. And well, my notes verbatim, I wrote Vegas in 7, dramatic exclamation point. Stone gets it in double overtime.
Wow. See, that's the stuff the legends are made of. It would be a very Vegas thing. It would be I mean, can you imagine the production value of whatever's going to happen in that arena if it happens in game seven? Oh, yeah.
Well, but then on the flip, I put Florida in five. You guys are going to get goalied.
It's possible. It's entirely possible.
So and like those are my two predictions.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's a lot of the goal with goal.
I'd rather Vegas in seven. I want the dramatic.
I think it's going to be who can take the pressure. Really, this is a pressure cooker. This is two guys that have entirely different psychological stresses going on. Bobrovsky's on a hot streak, and sometimes when those end, like I said, it can mess you up. And then on the other hand, Aiden Hill, just he's never been here before. He's never had this experience.
Yeah. I've seen some commentary, you know, they're like, playoffs is all about momentum and Florida's had a longer rest.
I think that will hurt them.
Yeah. The longer rest
The longer rest.
Yeah.
I think that Vegas coming off of the competition with Dallas is actually going to fuel them in the first part of the series. I am actually relieved we're not coming off of a longer break, and we'll see. But I think, like you said, momentum is the thing for sure.
Yeah. Well, regardless, I'm excited for a new Stanley Cup champion.
Me too. It's going to be good hockey.
Yeah. Well, Aim, that's all I got.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess we're going to talk in a couple days. Or next week or whenever this series ends.
Sounds good. I'm excited to see who else you might be able to talk to about this series.
Yeah. Well, I hopefully got a Florida fan, so let's go.
Fingers crossed. I want to hear them.
Yeah. All right, Aim. Cool. You take care.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.